If you'll turn back in God's Word to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. We're coming this morning to a new series. Over the next 2 months, we'll be looking at what has been described as the loveliest complete work on a small scale. In the book of Ruth, we have a wonderful love story. We have a delightful piece of writing. And God willing, over the next 2 months, Phil and I will be preaching through this book. It's a short book. It's sandwiched in between Judges and 1 Samuel. It's a book that tells us a little bit more about the ordinary details of life during the time of the Judges. The book of Judges and 1 Samuel, they give us the history of God's people on a big scale. The story of God's people settling into the promised land. Look at verse 1 of Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled. Well, were the days like when the judges ruled? If you have your Bibles open, go back to the last verse in the book of Judges. The last verse says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. The history of this period of time is one of God's people falling into sin. It's God's people going against God, and God then bringing judgment on them. And as God brings his loving punishment, his people cry out to him and say, save us, Lord. And so God raises up a deliverer or a judge. The people are restored, but then they go back and fall into the old ways again. Ruth stands out for us in between the book of Judges and Samuel. It's a small light that shines brightly and wonderfully. Ruth is also only one of two books that are named after women. The other book is, of course, Esther. Esther deals with the royal courts. Esther deals with politics and what's happening on a national level. There's a threat to the whole nation of God's people. But it's diverted because of the actions of a Jewish girl before a great and mighty king. Ruth is completely different. It's about everyday life. Ruth is about a little family growing up in Israel. It's about people who face economic struggles. It's about people who face death and have the joy of marriages. It's about people who come across hardships, moving home, loneliness. There are no battles in the book of Ruth. There are no armies in the book of Ruth. It's not really a boy's book. But it's a wonderful book. It's a fantastic book. Because here in the book of Ruth and in this love story, we actually have the whole theme of the Bible. The book of Ruth, it's about redemption. God's love for the lost. That love which pays a price to have someone brought into your family. It's a love that pays a price so that someone can inherit the promises of the covenant. It's about the need for a redeemer. And a redeemer coming along. In Naomi and Ruth, we're going to see our own need, our own struggles. And in the person of Boaz, we're going to be pointed to Jesus Christ. Someone who pays a price to draw alongside, to unite himself to someone so that they may inherit the promises given in the covenant. In this short book, we're going to see that God cares about everyday life. God's salvation, his redemption, comes into the events of everyday life. This morning, I want us, by way of introduction, to take the first seven verses of Ruth chapter 1. Ruth is divided into four chapters. Each chapter sets a different scene. And chapter 1 is based in Moab, the far-off country. And in these first seven verses, we see the great need that comes into the life of Naomi. Here we have people in danger. Here we have people who are headed the wrong direction. We must be careful in the direction in which we are headed. So I want us to realize our need this morning. And the first thing we see here is a dangerous choice. A dangerous choice. We meet Elimelech in the first verse of Ruth. He's called a man of Bethlehem in Judah who went to Moab to escape famine. In verse 2, we're given a little bit more detail. We're told his name. It's Elimelech. We're given the name of his wife, Naomi, his sons Machlon and Chilion. And we're told that they're from Ephrathah. They're Ephrathites. They're from the city of Bethlehem. They're from the tribe of Judah. Here are genuine members of the covenant family. They come from the tribe of Judah, the chief tribe, the leading tribe at this stage in salvation history. Elimelech's name. His name means, "My God is King." What a great family this must be. But look what they do. During a famine, he decides that it would be a good idea for him and his family to leave the promised land and go to Moab. A sinful place. A wicked place. A place where people have no time for God. Famine has come. And look at the end of verse 2. They remain there. They stayed in Moab. There's no food or bread in Judah, in Israel. This famine is probably God's loving discipline on the people. Remember the book of Judges. People fall into sin. God brings a judgment. This is probably part of his discipline to bring his people back to him. Elimelech is in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. There's no bread. Elimelech's name means my God is King. But with these things in his mind, he decides it would be better to leave God's place and do things his own way. He has a choice to make. There's a decision that he must reach. Either he can stay in Bethlehem, or he can leave and try to find something greater, something better than what God has promised. Elimelech should be waiting on the Lord. He should be staying in the place of promise. He should be trusting in God and what God has called him to. But he doesn't do that. They go to Moab. During that difficult time of famine, God was wanting his people to repent, to cry out to him, say, "We're sorry. Forgive us. Come and help us as you have promised. Come and deliver us, God." But rather than following the path of repentance and faith, Elimelech, He decides to do what is right in his own eyes. I'm going to do what I think is best for me. I'm going to do what makes life easy for me. What do we do when things aren't going well? What sort of decisions and choices do we make? Are we prepared to wait on God? Are we ready to acknowledge God as King of our lives? Or do we jump in quickly? Do we make decisions that could be spiritually dangerous? Do we say to ourselves, I know, I'll do things my own way because I don't really trust God's way? Our decisions can have serious consequences on our spiritual lives. We've thought about this before. Our decisions can have consequences on the lives of those around us. Elimelech brings his family to a country where they're surrounded by the sinfulness of Moab. His sons marry Moabite women, which was against God's word. Now God is going to overrule that sin wonderfully and graciously. But Elimelech shows little faith, little trust, little understanding of what God is calling him to. Do you ever think that your everyday choices show how you are walking spiritually? What you decide to do in different situations, they show where your heart is. Are you trusting in God? Are you going along with what God says in his word? Be careful in the choices you make. Say that to our children and our young people. Be careful in the choices you make. Always ask yourself, is this God's will? Is this what God would want me to do? A dangerous choice. Then secondly, we have here a desperate need. A desperate need. This path that Elimelech and his family have walked, it comes to a dead end. It does so in many ways. Physically, there's death. Elimelech dies. Sometime later, Chilion and Mahlon die. We're familiar with death. We know what it's like to lose loved ones. Many ways we can empathize with Naomi. We can sympathize with her. We can feel her loneliness, her grief, her desperation. That intruder that has come into our world, it has come into this small family home. But there's something much more fearful happening here. There is a greater need in the life of Naomi. Naomi is now left without any sons. There are no heirs to the inheritance. This means there is no future for Naomi. We need to understand the desperation of this situation in the context of the Old Testament covenant promises. The land, the physical land, that visible illustration, that visible sign of God's provision for his people. In the land, every family had a share. They weren't allowed to sell it. They weren't allowed to trade it. It was theirs. And that was saying that they were part of God's kingdom. And they looked forward in faith to being included in God's kingdom. They all partook of the inheritance. And the family line, it inherits the share in the promise. Without any sons, can't be passed on. Naomi looks ahead. She sees no future, no share in the land. Elimelech's family name, it's stopped in Moab. That's where he is buried. That's where the sons are buried. Naomi is without comfort, without hope. She's without a place in the promise. God's law provided for situations like this. In Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 6, we read of a widow's brother-in-law, a man who isn't married. He can marry the widow of his brother. And the first son that they have, he will carry on the name of the woman's first wife, so that there is a share in the land. Naomi says to Ruth, I'm not going to have any more sons. Even if I marry tomorrow, would you wait? There's no share, no hope. She's in a foreign land. Her daughters-in-law are unlikely to find Israelite men to marry. Who would want them? They're aliens, strangers, foreigners. The situation, we have to understand, is desperate. Here is an aging widow with no future hope, no promise. There's no place in this wonderful kingdom that they look forward to. The dangerous choices that were made have left this woman in desperate need. There's a deep, uncomfortable emptiness in Naomi's life. It's a fearful and a terrible position for her to be in. But yet, this is our need. We are the Naomi of this passage. Outside of Jesus Christ, we have no share in the promise. Outside of Christ, we have no part of the covenant blessings. We're helpless. We are without hope outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, we are stranded in a foreign place. Outside of Christ, there's no future, no comfort, no share in the blessing. And so what we need is we need someone to come alongside us and to give us a share of the promise. We need someone to come along and to unite themselves to us. Someone who has the promises. And if he can unite himself to us, then we will share in them. We need a redeemer. One who can attach himself to those who are without hope. Can you see what Naomi and what Ruth will need? Can you see just how desperate the situation is? Can you see that outside of Christ, outside of the one who has all the covenant blessings attached to himself, outside of him, we will not share in eternal life. We will not share in the blessing. We're spiritually dead like Naomi in Moab. No hope, no comfort, no blessing. There is a desperate need. But this brings us thirdly and finally to a divine action. A divine action. Verse 6. The Lord has visited his people and he has given them food. God, in his timing, has come along and he has turned his attention, or he has visited his people. He's provided for them. The crops that they have sown, the seed that they have sown, have eventually come to a harvest. There's going to be bread. There's going to be food. God has provided all this time. And if Elimelech and his family had waited on God, they would have been provided for. But Naomi now hears of it. And what does she do? She gets up. She begins to return to the land of Judah. This is repeated for us in verse 7. They went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Bethlehem had repented. They'd experienced God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's favor. God has acted. For Elimelech, Mahlon and Chilion, they're dead and buried. That their memory has gone on, that the name is with them in the ground in Moab. But for Naomi, her heart is turned towards the promise. God has stirred in this woman. And so she leaves the land of rebellion. She's leaving the place of bad choices, of dangerous decisions. And she is returning to the land of promise. She's on the road home. And here in the book of Ruth, we see that there is hope. God has acted. And this divine action gives us hope for the rest of the book of Ruth. God provides in times of desperate need. God has acted to meet the most desperate need and to restore the promise of the inheritance of blessing. God's grace will restore Naomi. And not only will God's action restore Naomi, but we see here that there is someone else on this journey. She's going with her two daughters-in-law. One of them will take center stage. One of them will be a key figure. One of them will experience redeeming love. It'll be Ruth, the stranger, the Moabitess, the one who should have no rights to the promise of salvation. The one who couldn't be as far away from the blessings as someone else. But she, in God's action, will experience a redeemer. She will know someone coming alongside her, uniting himself to her, so that she may share in the blessings of the covenant. Divine action. Divine action for those who have strayed. And divine action for those who've never belonged. This divine action is, of course, God's grace to us in Christ. It's His grace that restores us when we have made bad decisions. Perhaps you've grown up in the covenant promises. You've been a Christian for many years, but you've taken wrong turns. You've made bad decisions, dangerous choices. Is all hope lost? No. God's action is bringing Naomi home. And our need is met in God's grace through Christ. No matter how far we have strayed, Naomi was away for over 10 years. No matter how far we have strayed, God's gracious action, God's love, His forgiveness and His favor through Christ draws us back. And maybe you've made bad or dangerous choices. Return. Return home. Come to Christ. See your desperate need. Understand that God has acted in grace through Christ. He calls us back. This grace is also for those who are like Ruth. For those who have lived all their lives outside of the covenant saving promises. Those who are strangers and foreigners, aliens to God's promises. Perhaps you've never come to Christ. God provides in Christ. He provides the way through which we can come into the promises. And He's acted in love. He's acted graciously. This provision in Christ that calls on us to turn to Him. Come to Him. Be restored. Have that desperate need met in Christ. Have the saving promises applied and united to your life in Christ. We're going to be looking more and more at God's provision of a Redeemer. One who draws alongside us. One who unites Himself to us so that we may share in the promises. The love story of Ruth. I said it's not really a book for boys, but it is. It's a wonderful book. It's a book for everyone who makes mistakes. It's a book for everyone who strays. It's a book for everyone who needs someone else to come alongside them so that we can share in the promises of the kingdom of God. The love story of Ruth is the story of God's love for us in Christ Jesus, providing us with an inheritance, providing us with an eternal promise. And we find our desperate need met in Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray.